Welcome to The Second Half, an oral history project sponsored by the Women's Studies Research Center and by the Journalism Program at Brandeis University. In these oral histories, Brandeis student journalists interview women over 50, from judges to sociologists and from doctors to artists. Though each woman's story is unique, they all show a wealth of wisdom, resilience, and joy in their second half of life. In this episode, Lauren Williams interviews Diane Rubin about growing up with sexism as a young girl and switching careers later in life.
I'm Lauren Williams, a sophomore at Brandeis University. As someone who's just beginning to get my start professionally, I'm always interested in what women's careers look like throughout their lives and what relationships help them get there. Recently, I had the pleasure of interviewing Diane Rubin. She's 63 and serves as an appointed judge for the Massachusetts Land Court. Though Diane feels lucky to have started a new career in her 60s, it hasn't always been easy. In my conversation with her, I learned a lot about coming into one's own professionally and personally, and about achieving success while also not going it alone.
Why did you become a lawyer?
I became a lawyer because in part my father wanted me to do that, and I didn't know what else to do. And I always wanted to try to do something to make the world a little bit better place, but I really had no idea what that meant. So it's been, you know, decades of me trying to figure out what that meant, how I could actually reconcile my sense of what was useful to do with my life, what was decent to do with my life, with working in a profession that's not always that way.
And kind of that journey that you just spoke about, you know, making the world a better place, yeah, and that kind of taking a while. Have you come to any conclusions about how you can make the world a better place?
I understand better now than I used to what I'm good at. I don't think I knew what I was good at when I was younger. I have certain skills that sometimes I'm just not so good at. And so I recognize those and I understand I have to work with the things that I'm not good at and just be aware and try to, you know, use the things I am good at.
Yeah. What things would you think that you're good at?
I think I'm good at bringing people together. I think I'm good at helping people figure out their own solutions to problems, mm-hmm, and letting them find their own path.
Yeah. And what things would you say that you're not the best at?
Mm-hmm. I'm not as smart and as patient and as rigorous sometimes intellectually as I should be.
And as your work as a judge, have you learned anything in that experience that you've kind of applied to your own personal life?
I think it's almost the opposite. I think I've been doing this now for 3.5 years, so it's not that long. But I think I have learned that I have over the period of doing this, I've noticed, it's like a recent thing I've noticed, I think I've become really judgmental. Because I have to make decisions. I mean, it's one of the things about my job. It's such a weird job. It's a wonderful job to have as an older person. I feel really lucky as an older person to have a new job, right? It's not like, you know, I have friends who hate their jobs, but they can't leave because they don't think they'll ever find another job at their age because of age discrimination. So I'm really lucky. I have a brand new job that I got when I was just 60. So I've been very lucky in that way, but people are very respectful to you. You know, you walk in the door and you say, "Good morning, Judge," and the clerks open the door for you and they say, "All rise," and it's like there's all this stuff that happens, and when I speak, you know, I think people stop speaking, and if they don't, then I can tell them, "You need to stop speaking because it's my space." And I have to, I've realized, like, since when I started creeping into this place of being a little bit thinking that everybody needs to listen to me, like my friends and family, and I'm like, I talk over, and I said, I'm not at work now, and I can't. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, like, I'll say, well, that's not the right way to do things. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm not at work anymore. I can't do that.
So. Yeah, actually, that's such a like interesting dynamic. As a younger, when you were like a younger woman, did you ever feel like you couldn't say those things? Like, this is the right way to do it, or, you know?
It was tough, you know, being a younger woman. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, what about that process? Do you think it's kind of brutal?
How anybody's interested in what you have to say. You have to fight really hard and you have to do a really good job to keep people focused on what you're saying and having to pay attention to you.
If you had any fears about yourself or about the world when you were younger, do you still hold those or have those kind of dissipated over time?
One of the things I remember when I first got out of law school, I went to work for a government agency for a local welfare department. And I remember saying to a very good friend of mine, still my friend today, I said, you know, because I knew I sort of needed a new job, you know, and I was sort of like trying to figure out what to do, etc. I said, look, if I ever tell you that I'm going to go work for a private law firm, you need to pull me away and say, stop, don't do that, because that's like not the kind of person I want to be. So, of course, I did end up doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot through it, and it got me where I am now. And so I've sort of, I think I was judgmental when I was younger. Like there was black and white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand people doing things for different reasons, and it's sort of very personal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have to younger women who kind of want, you know, like grow on their own and, you know, take the world by the reins?
Professionally or personally?
Both.
Professionally, a thing that I always tell younger women, you can tell me what you think about this. This is really important to have friends and networks along the way. You can't do it alone.
Was it ever difficult for you to build a network of women professionally and personally?
Yeah, it's always hard. I mean, we've always had friends, but it's interesting to see which ones of them hang around.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really interesting about it. I had kids and I got divorced, and I lost a lot of friends, mm-hmm. because there were a lot of friends that were sort of tied up with that mm-hmm. family entity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then I'm unmarried and I have little kids, and
mm-hmm.
like a lot of people don't want to hang out with you, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting. So there was, and you're out of sync with a lot of the world because, you know, I'd have a weekend free and I could, you know, my kids would be with the dad. So it took a while for me to find people. And sometimes some of them stuck around and some of them haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was okay. They were all, some of them I feel sad. I go, like, what about that person's doing? They were there for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
That was so great.
How do you balance work and life as a woman? And how do you find people to stick it through with you in your toughest moments? These are age-old questions, and Diane was never afraid to answer them. Something I admire about Diane is that not only is she a strong, independent woman, but she acknowledged her interdependence. Even though she felt alone at times, it's clear that she never truly was.
Thank you for listening. This project is affiliated with The Second Half, a book by photojournalist Ellen Warner and published by the Brandeis University Press in 2022. Our student journalist team includes Lauren Williams, Brenna Perlstein, and Jillian Brasovsky. Our show music is written and produced by Bethel Adokobi. Our project manager is myself, Claire Ogden, and our consulting producers are Neil Swidey and Iris Adler. We would like to include a special thank you to Stephanie Lawrence, Harlene Singh, and Kristen Mullen, the WSRC team. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.